That was powerful. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Rudy, look at you stepping up to the mic. Ah, yes. Yeah, my goodness. That's powerful to be able to be like that. See that? That's good. Thank you. Thank you. So, got a little rap I want to do for you guys. I said a rap. A rap. Not the sandwich kind. All right. I got some music, okay? Got some music I want to share with you in a rap form. But I'm a little bit discombobulated, so I may have to go get my words. I'm going to go get the words because be safe, Daryl. That's the point. All right. So it wasn't no rattlesnake or big python, but a little garden snake that brought us all down. It wasn't all that venomous wrapped around the trunk when he looked at Eve and his eye he won't. The devil's got a line for you. The devil's got a line for you. The devil's got a line for you for sure. And 10,000 lures. Now you may think my rap's a stretch, but the devil will catch you with all his tricks. He's a master of disguise. He'll reel you in. He'll use his bait trying to make you sin. The devil's got a line for you. The devil's got a line for you. The devil's got a line for you for sure. And 10,000 lures. He knows your every weakness and when to strike. They say he was an angel once and knows what you like. For you it might be money, for me it might be fame. Better cover your ears when he whispers your name. The devil's got a line for you. The devil's got a line for you. The devil's got a line for you for sure. And 10,000 lures. Now here's the end to this little rap. To stay away from him and all his traps. 3 rusty nails, yes, that's the cure for the devil's line and his 10,000 lures. Well, I'm just letting you know. I got that sunshine in my pocket and that good soul through my feet. Got that hublet. No, I probably should stop there. See, once I get started, that's the whole problem, you know. Now I'm thinking I'm Justin Timberlake and going off like that, you know. I understand, you know, it's like when I go to the movies and I'm Denzel Washington, you know. We've all seen the similarities. We've seen them. I don't like to brag about it, but it's there. So in our passage today, Eve comes across a talking snake. Hello? Eve, when did you become Dr. Doolittle? I mean, really, it's a talking snake. Did you ever see the Pixar movie Up? All right, and the boy has to tell the old man, it's a talking dog. All right, and then they're just completely losing the focus. You ever lose focus on what's going on? There was this mom, it was on the radio, she called on herself, how we can lose focus sometimes. She goes, so, it's, you know, whatever morning it was, and I'm on the way, taking the kids to the school, you know, and you know how parents are when they're taking kids to school, you know how it is, you know, daughter, pack this in your lunch, don't forget good luck on the math test, don't forget how do we spell aquarium, and going on, and she's just driving, going to the school, just being the mom and everything. She goes, and I look in the rearview mirror, I left the kids at home. It's beautiful, though. I mean, she told the story on herself, you know. Just like, we lose focus. We're so worried about the lunches and the math tests and spelling aquarium. And there's the kids at home wondering, where's mom? We've lost mom. I don't understand. How's this working out? You know, this story that we get today, it's a great, great story. It can be a very helpful story. But only if we're willing to admit that it's not a story about Eve or about us talking snake. It's a story about us. Years ago, right before Andreas destroyed his ankle, he had qualified for the Junior Olympics. We were preparing to go to New Orleans for the match. He obviously inherited his talent. Okay, maybe not his physical talent, but let me tell you something. I can do some pretty amazing mental gymnastics. I can twist and turn things in amazing ways in my head to justify myself and why I'm thinking what I'm thinking and why I'm doing what I'm doing. I have been able to twist and turn. Do you know how easy that is to be able to do? We twist and turn ourselves so that we can excuse ourselves and give reasons as to why we're acting the way we do. It's just the mental gymnastics that it takes to go down the wrong path. When all it takes to go down the right path is just walk straight. But no, we've got to, if I could write a book, the title of my book would be Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. Except for, did you know that book's title's actually already been taken? Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. And the rest of the title goes, Why We Justify Foolish Beliefs, Bad Decisions, and Hurtful Acts. That's a real book written by a bunch of psychologists, it turns out. But I am very good at excusing myself. I am like, if you're familiar with the story, if you read past that verse, all right, I am in many ways like Adam, okay? All right, remember the story when Adam gets caught? And God says, hey, Adam, what's going on here? And what does Adam say? Well, the woman doesn't even say Eve, doesn't, now they've got, you know, not as even calling her by her name now. All of a sudden it's somebody, you know, the woman that you gave me. Don't you ever hear yourself doing that? Somehow it's God's fault. Haven't you ever blamed God for the way things are? See, that's what I just, mistakes are made, but it's not my fault. There's a reason, there's a justification, I have an explanation. I should be excused. Other people should be condemned, me, not so much. See, we can, all of us, lose our way. All right, we lose our compass. And it usually it just starts by taking one step. Because our self-justification will lead us the rest of the way. All we have to do is just be knocked off the first step. Because we'll take all the other steps ourselves. God is the truth. And so long as we continue to try to hold on to falsehood, we can't hold on to God. We lose our opportunity. If all we do is somehow hear this story and want to blame Eve, then we're missing our opportunity. You know, we end up hearing the story and we end up saying, I think I'm better than you. I think I'm better. You know, we just want to go on about Eve. And it's just like, no, this is a story about us. This is about all the different ways. And it's true, you know, we temptations don't always come at us when we're weak. I know we hear about that, but that's not always the case. Eve's not weak when she hits this story. All right, you know how in recovery they talk about halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and that can make you very vulnerable in some way. But Eve's healthy. Eve's got plenty of food. There's trees all over the place. She's in good shape. She's in the Garden of Eden. It doesn't get much better than this. Sometimes things are going admirably well for us, and we can stumble. We can stumble big time. Temptation sometimes can come to us, and it's not always somebody in a red suit. Excuse me. It's not always a guy with a red suit, and it's seldom going to be head on. It's never going to be, hey, go rob a bank. Nobody here is going to go out and rob a bank. Of course not. It's much more subtle than that, because we can steal other people's ideas. Oh, all right. We can take away other people's dignity. We can rob people of respect. Temptations can come at us, offering us power or control or a chance to justify ourselves or satisfy ourselves. When the devil came after Jesus, he did it with one word. If. You ever see where that little word can lead you? That word, if. If God really loved me, if I didn't have to work for such a crummy boss, if I only had a little bit more money or better health or more security, if they really loved me, if they really respected me, if they really appreciated me. And sometimes it comes at us through doubt. If they knew the truth about me, did that ever cause you to hide? If they knew the truth about me, if they knew how much I'm going to mess up, if I was a really good parent, if I was a really good spouse, if I was really a good Christian, our passage reminds us that it's not a matter of if the temptations come. It's a matter of what to do when they come. Because they are going to come. They do come. We all know this. Temptations may promise us freedom, but they make us a slave. There's always, just like in the little, there's always a hook. Every time you follow a temptation, there's going to be a hook involved. Real freedom is not about gratifying our appetite. It's about not being enslaved by our appetites. You know, years ago there used to be that expression, the devil made me do it. You all grew up with that. You know about that. And the joke used to be about a woman who had a bad habit of going around and buying expensive dresses that she didn't really need, but she just liked them and she wanted them. And it was Lent, and she said, okay, I'm going to give up buying expensive dresses, you know, for Lent. I'm gonna give that up. And she's walking down, and she sees this beautiful, you know, going by the store, and sees this beautiful, gorgeous dress right out there on the display window. Really, God? I'm giving up expensive. Look at this beautiful, wonderful dress. Well, I didn't say I would give up trying them on, and it's probably not going to be on my size, and it's probably going to be more expensive. It'll be okay. And so she goes in, and sure enough, they have her size. Sure enough, it's on sale. Sure enough, she tries it on, because, you know, maybe it won't look good, but it looks absolutely stunning. And she knows she's getting ready to cave in. She knows she's getting ready. And so she says, Satan, get behind me. And Satan gets behind her and says, it looks good from back here too. That's not the kind of voice that's going to help you. The kind of voice that you need is the kind of voice that can call us on our stuff. Not to condemn us and not to shame us, but to help us. To coach us. I've used the illustration before. If your car's making a funny noise and you take it to your mechanic, you don't want your mechanic telling you, well, you know, cars will do that sometimes. I'm sure it's going to be all right. You'll probably be fine. Go ahead. How confident are you Are you very good about that? You go to the doctor and you've got something going on medically that you know isn't right, and the doctor says, well, you know, it happens. It's okay. I'm sure it'll be fine. How confident are you about something like that? Oh, you have a coach or you have a teacher, you have someone who, and you don't want to hear that everything is okay. You want to hear, how can I be better? We need a group of friends that we can trust who will help us. You say, well, okay, you're listening to the wrong voice. That's why God gives us scripture, and he gives us solid Christian friends, people that we can trust with our stuff, so that when we are beginning to fall the wrong way, they can say, get out of the dang store. It isn't going to do you any favors going into that. Following that path is only going to lead you to ruin. Get off that path. Sometimes we need to understand that what's been given to us and why we have it. We have God and we have prayer. And we can judge Eve if we want to for listening to a snake. But there are a whole lot of voices going off in our head. And sometimes they interfere with the voice that God is giving to us. So this is how you can tell the difference, if it's a snake or if it's God. God is always, always, always going to tell you he loves you. And there isn't going to be an if on it, and there isn't going to be a but on it. God is always going to say, I love you. You don't have to do anything. It's not, I love you if you memorize the Ten Commandments. I love you if, no. I love you but you met, no. I love you. And if you're hearing any other voice telling you anything different, then it's a snake. It's the devil. It's a line with a lure trying to lure you away from the truth of God's grace. That's why he gave us Jesus. To lure us away from the snakes of the world and the voices in our head and remind us of the truth of his grace. Jesus Christ is the cure for the devil's line and 10,000 lures. Amen.